Anybody ever been to McCormick Place in Chicago? Anybody ever been to a place that, huge, huge convention center, one of the largest convention centers in the U.S. And so it was quite a few years ago where I went to a technology show. There was the largest technology show in the U.S. at the time, just huge, just massive. And so if you've ever been to one of these trade shows, you know you get all kinds of these, you know, hats and t-shirts and little gadgets and stuff all over. And so spent all day there walking around and seeing all the new tech that was coming out. And it was really a cool experience. And it got to the end of the day and it was time to drive home. And so, you know, do the 8 mile walk back to the parking garage and get in there. I'm not a dummy. When I park my car, you know, I would write down the number and the place where I'm at. Now, you know, cell phones, you know, you take a picture of it just because, you know, I'm going to be able to find my car again. So I had my little card there and, you know, knew where I parked. And it had that, you know, you're walking, you got all this gear, you know, you're walking, you get there. And you've ever had the experience where you go to where your car should have been and it ain't there? Okay. And then it's that initial feeling of, okay, I'm just stupid. And, you know, obviously I'm looking at, you know, the wrong place. So I pull up my little card and the numbers matched and the spot where my car was supposed to be, you know, letter, number, vacant. I thought, oh, somebody stole my car. I mean, of all the cars there, you know, I mean, of all the, you know, the nice cars there, you know, the Mercedeses, you know, there's nice cars, you know, somebody stole my Dodge Stratus, for crying out loud. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, there's a Jaguar out there. If you're going to steal something nice, not my Dodge Stratus. I mean, come on. How am I going to get home? And so, you know, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm in the, you know, just, you know, you're like, okay, something's got to be wrong. There's nobody going to steal this car. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm walking up and down and I'm going up and down and I'm moving, you know, all over this place. And I'm just worn out because you got, you know, bags of this junk and you're walking around and you're trying to find your car. And I'm looking and I didn't find it. And so I'm blaming. He's like, you know, what idiot stole my car? And here's the thing. No matter how much I wanted to find my car, no matter how much I needed to find my car, no matter how long I would have looked there, no matter how hard I would have searched there, I would have never, ever, ever, ever found my car there. Because I was walking back in utter frustration. I was trying to find a phone back when you had to look for a phone. Remember those days about 100 years ago? And so was going to call my wife and say, you know, something's, you know, somebody stole my car. I was walking back. I'm just frustrated. I'm just mad. I'm just blaming everybody. Bad mood, carrying all this junk, and just somebody stupid stole my car. Just angry. And I looked and looked. I mean, for like an hour, like wandering around this garage thing. And I get back, and I finally go to the guy with the garage there, and I'm like, I need to use your phone. Somebody stole my car. And he's like, oh, man, that's really rare. You know, because we got cameras and stuff, you know, and like, I know, but it's gone, you know, and I'm getting ready to call. And he says, hey, you know, we have another garage. Yeah, I knew that. Just need to get my steps in for today. So this is the west side, you know. Now he says, well, the crazy thing is that whoever designed this place, I mean, they didn't make it idiot proof, and I don't know what he was meaning about that. if that was a pointed statement. He says, but all the numbers are exactly the same over there. So if you parked in, you know, B12, it would be B12 over here or B12, there wouldn't be a way to know unless you made the 8 mile difference between which parking place. So you know what? Sure enough, I walked over to the other side and it was amazing. I walked out there and my car was the only car in like the entire garage. There was nobody left. But here's the thing. It wasn't until I moved to where my car was that I would find what I was looking for. No matter how hard I look, no matter how long I look, no matter how bad I needed to find it, no matter how desperate I was to find it, I was never going to find what I was looking for until I went to the place where it was. As long as I looked in the wrong place, never going to find it. And so this morning, I want to talk to somebody that you are looking in the wrong place. And how I know you're looking in the wrong place is that you are searching for something and you still haven't found it. You are still looking for something. There is still something desperately missing in your life. And I'm not talking something as trivial as a car, because we only have one lot out here, okay? It's kind of hard to lose your car. I'm not talking something like that. I'm talking something in here. I'm talking something maybe in here. I'm talking something in your heart, in your life, in your emotions, that you still feel empty. You are still looking for something more. You feel like something is missing. You might know what it is, and you're saying, I'm desperately trying to find that. You might not have no clue what it is, but yet you know something is not right. You are still looking for something. Now you can say today, well, I'm in church this morning. I mean, come on. I mean, I showed up here. We're worshiping God. And let me just say this. A worship service is the right place to find some things. It's not the right place to find all things. Now, understand what I'm saying. I'm not against church. I mean, that's not what I'm saying, because there are some things that you can only find here. There are some things that, and that's why you come, because this is where you find those things that you're looking for. But I'm talking to people that you're here today. You've been coming to church faithfully. You've been receiving what you can receive in a service, but yet you feel you are still missing something. There is something still lacking. And my answer may seem kind of strange to you today, but you're in the wrong place. No matter how much you want it, no matter how much you need it, no matter how long you search, no matter how hard you search, you're not going to find it here, because you're looking in the wrong place. Now, I'm going to challenge you to move past the blame and move to change. Because remember when I went to go find my car and I didn't find it, the first thing was like, somebody stole my car. Got to blame somebody, right? Got to blame somebody. And here's the thing. We can come to service after service and church after church and go through all of the motions and still leave empty. And the first thing we want to do is blame. Well, that church isn't for me. I'm not getting all that I need to get out of. Well, it's that stupid preacher. If he can lose his car, I mean, surely, I mean, how smart is that, right? I mean, how about this one? I'm just not being fed. I mean, anybody ever heard that or said that? Okay, we can start to blame the church. We can start to blame people. We can start to blame ministry. We can start to blame all the ministers and ministries we have. We can start to blame God. Then, Lord, I'm showing up to service and I'm just not getting what I need. I still feel empty. I still feel something missing. I still feel that there's something more, and I'm doing what you said to do, right? And my answer to you is this: you're looking in the wrong place. You're not going to find it here. Stop blaming. It's not somebody else's fault. You're just looking in the wrong place. And I want to anchor this on one of my favorite chapters in the scriptures. It's in the book of Psalms, Psalm 91, and we're going to lead off from this. And it simply says this, the first verse of this chapter: he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can we just say this out loud together? Can we just read this out? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to take a moment and just rewind back. Do you remember as a kid when you had a secret place? Right? I mean, maybe it was out of the public eye, it was limited. Not everybody could get there. It was personal. I mean, it was your secret place. Maybe you had a fort. Anybody have a fort like in the backyard or something that you built, or a treehouse that somebody built for you? Or maybe it was a space under the stairs. You know, you just kind of go there and hide, sneak out there. Or maybe it was a place outside. I mean, you had a secret place. Remember that? Remember how your perspective changed when you got into that secret place? I mean, it was different. It's like all the cares kind of evaporated. All of the situations, you got a different perspective. You could see things different. The world was different from there. You pulled away from everything. You pulled away from everyone. You find that solitude. You found strength there. You found peace there. You could rest. You just kind of hang out. Nobody can find me here. All those pressures that were pushing on you dissipated when you got to that secret place. And we remember those secret places as kids. We remember the power that they had in us. There was a draw to that. There was something special about going to the fort or going to the hideout or going to that secret place. Why? Because there was things that happened there that didn't happen anywhere else. And what this verse is saying is there is a place like that with God. It's out of the public eye. It's limited. Not everybody knows about it. It's personal. It's where you pull away from everything and everyone. It's where you find that solitude and the strength, and the perspective of the world changes when you're in that place. Secret places. It's different. It's different. Look at what's given in this secret place. Let me just skip around through this chapter. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Let's just go through the next couple of verses here. "You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day." We're just going to keep going through these. "Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday." He's going on. Look at all the amazing things. "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." And he wraps it up this way. He says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up high because he has known my name." He goes on, he finishes it this way. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." And he makes this promise, says, "With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Look at what God is promising in this secret place. What is found in the secret place is this. He says, "When I'm in the secret place, I'm overshadowed." That means that all that I am is covered by all that God is. All my weaknesses, all my failures, all my uncertainties, all my past, everything is covered by his power, his mercy, his forgiveness, his goodness, his graciousness. All the things that are weakness in me are overshadowed by the greatness of God. In the secret place, my fear goes away. I find peace. My heart, my mind, my soul is protected when I'm in that place. When I am in that secret place with God, I find direction. I find the right direction. Out of harm, out of destruction, I find the way around problems. I find the path of safety in that secret place. In that secret place, I find favor with God. In this place, this is a place where God listens to me. And this is a place where God speaks to me. This is a place where my life is both blessed and extended by the power of God. In this place, I find salvation. In short, to wrap it all up, in the secret place with God, I find everything that I've always wanted or needed from God when I'm with him in this secret place. And for some of you, you say, "Well, that's what I came here for. That's what I come to church for, because I really need that. I really desire that. I really want that. I need that." And I'm asking you this, wait a second, maybe you're looking in the wrong place. Somebody just asked you this question. How much time did you spend in God with in secret this week? Think about that. I mean, just real quick, a secret place with God is just like that hideout. It's out of the public eye. It's away from everyone else. It's not in church. It's not with church people. It's on your own. It's on your own time. It's one-to-one. Secret places. And I'm saying to you today that you're missing something. And here's the thing. Maybe you're looking in the wrong place. You're not looking in the place where you need to look. If you want validation of this principle, all we have to do is look at the life of Jesus. Jesus modeled this. I want to show you a couple of verses that maybe you didn't realize. Look at how Jesus enacted his life. I mean, and he was God, and look at what he did. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to where? A solitary place where he did what? He prayed. Well, wait a second, Jesus, wouldn't it be a great example for you to just hang around everybody else and just kind of pray out in public? You know, I mean, how powerful would that be? But he understood and he modeled this. He says, hey, before everybody else gets up, before everybody else is around, I know, I mean, I'm perfect. I'm God. And yet I want to show you that even me, I go get away to a solitary, secret place. Luke chapter 6 says this. It says, then it came to pass in those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. And what that means is like away from everybody else. He got away from the city. He got away from all the hustle and bustle. He went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Isolated, alone, away from everybody. Matthew 14 says this, and he dismissed them. He got rid of the people. Got rid of all the well-meaning people, the people that were following him. Got rid of all the other Christians around. And he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. And then later that night, what? He was there alone. Alone. And to sum it all up, Luke just says it this way. He just says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He's telling us and he's showing us there are some things that you can't find in a church service. There are some things you can't find when we all come together. And I'm thankful for church. I'm thankful. This doesn't mean to walk away from it, because there are some things that you can only find here. There are some things, and that's why it's important. That's why you need to be here. But if you are still missing something, you're not going to find everything here. You need to find that secret place. He demonstrated it. See, our problem is we tend to lean more toward public Christianity, don't we? With others, around others, right? We come together and we think, oh, this is what it means to serve God, as we come together and we sit in rows. We come together and we sing together. We come together and we shake hands and we tell each other how wonderful a week we had, even though it might have been a really bad week. We talked about that last week. But here's the deal. It's so much more. You're missing something. In fact, I would argue that you're missing the best thing. This should be in addition. But for many of you, this is all that there is. And then you're wondering, why isn't this working? Why am I still struggling? Why am I still dealing with this? Why do I still feel empty? Why do I still feel hollow? Why do I feel like somebody's not doing their job? God, how come it feels like you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? God is telling us, hey, you're in the wrong parking lot. You're in the wrong parking lot. You're never going to find it here. But I'm trying to teach you today, you can find it. And God wants you to find it. And God demonstrated how to find it. The whole key to this, and the key to think about this, is that our relationship with God is a relationship. It's a relationship. Okay? Turn to somebody, tell them, it's a relationship. It's a relationship, right? Okay. So I want you to imagine this, all right, if you can. For those of you that are married, you can try to imagine. If those of you that aren't, just use your imagination. Imagine only being married in public. I mean, you show up together, right? You show up together. Oh, hey, my beautiful wife, and she's wonderful. And then when you leave, you get in your cars and you drive to separate places. Some of you are going, we'll talk about that later, okay? Separate lives. When you're alone, there's no alone time. There's no intimacy. There's nothing alone time. That you're only in public when you show up in public. Oh, we're going to go to the grocery store. Okay, call me up. Okay, let's meet there. Okay, oh, here we are. We're wonderful. Aren't we married? Oh, isn't this great, 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 great? And then, okay, let's go. How great would that relationship be? That would not be a healthy relationship. If someone said, well, you know, we only show up in public together, but, you know, we don't do anything else. Like, well, there's a marriage you want to model, right? No, you would go, that's screwed up. That's messed up. Same with your relationship with God. Oh, well, we come to church. Oh, God, aren't you wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? But then you leave and go to your separate lives. Well, when we come together, you know, on Sundays or Wednesdays or, you know, come together for something, it's like, oh, isn't it wonderful? Hey, God, come with me. We'll show up together. We've got this great relationship when everybody else is around. But as soon as everybody leaves, then you go and then I'll go and we'll meet up next time. That's not a relationship. And then we wonder why we feel empty. We wonder why we struggle. We wonder what is going on. And when we stop and look at it for what it really is, it's messed up. We're looking in the wrong place. We've missed it. You've missed it. In fact, the way that Jesus taught us how to pray was this. Jesus did not say, hey, I want you to go find a bunch of believers, a bunch of Christians. I want you to go to a church, right? And find where everybody is, and then this is the way you pray. No, that's not what he said. Look at what Jesus does when he teaches us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Look at this. Look how he says. He says, but when you pray, go into your room and what? Close the door. Close the door. He didn't say, well, get a bunch of people together, all hold hands, and then, man, just go at it. Again, there is nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking to people, you're still missing something. When your public Christianity is all that there is, you are missing the depth and the intimacy and the power and the strength of what a relationship truly is. He says this, I'm going to teach you how to pray. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in what? In secret. Your whole conversation with God. The power is in that secret place away from everyone. It's intimate. It's personal. And it's where you find what you're looking for. It says, when he sees what's done in secret, he will answer. He's going to reward you. There are some things that can only be found in secret places. And odds are, if you've been coming to service and you consider yourself a believer and a Christian and you're faithful to God and in church, and if there is still an emptiness, it's because you're looking in the wrong place, because there are some things that can only be found in secret places. You know, when we look at our faith and we look at our actions in our heart, I know this, and I'm going to try to say this. No, I'm not going to say it nice. When people fall away from God, usually the last thing to go is public church attendance. Because I know this. There are people here right now. I said I wasn't going to pull any punches. You were so far from God. So far from God. But yet you still show up. And one of the last things to go is your public religion. It'll go eventually, but one of the last things to go. One of the first things to go, and I wrote it in a statement here, public attendance is one of the last things to go when we fall away from God. Time in our secret place is one of the first to go. when we begin to fall away from God, the first thing to go isn't, well, I'm not showing up to church anymore. It's, no, I'm too busy. No, I'm too hurried. No, I don't have time. I've got all these other more important things. I mean, come on, Netflix just came up with a new series. Got to binge watch that. I mean, come on, I got to shovel snow. Come on, I got, you know, all the other things that we put in. Oh, I'm so busy. I got all these other priorities. One of the first things to go is our time in our secret place with God. And if you have ever been close to God and have fallen away with God, you understand what I'm saying here. It's this. It's the intimacy. It's the closeness. And unfortunately, it's the most precious things. Because when we lose the precious things, everything else just starts to look meaningless. Everything else just starts to look like, oh, it's just something we do. It's just a box that we check. It's an obligation. This is the relationship. It's the relationship. And see, we fail to understand that. We look at it as an obligation. We look at it as a contract. And we fail to realize that this is a love relationship. Now, I do premarital counseling with all the people that we marry, and I don't have to tell anybody, let's say, hey, you know what? I don't mean to break this to you, but this is really important, and you need to write this down, okay? You're getting ready to get married. You can't date anybody else after this. Now, write that down. I mean, that's key. I mean, this is, you know, you're putting a period at the end of the sentence here, okay? This is it. I've never had anybody go, oh, I better write that down. Right? I don't even need to say it. Because they're so ooey-gooey, right? Oh, we're just in love. Oh, we love each other. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, it's so great. Then if I said that, they'd go, are you stupid? What are you, kind of guy that like loses your car in a parking lot kind of thing? I mean, what is wrong with you? That's not even an issue because we are so much in love. You don't got to state that, right? I mean, to try to explain a loving, caring marriage relationship from the requirement side without the love is simply a bunch of rules. With love, it's like, you don't even have to say it. That's that what I want to do naturally. It's what's easy. It's not an argument or a fight. It's not something I got to stress over. It's like, okay, hopefully I can do this. Forever? Yeah, as long as you're living. I mean, as long as you want to stay married, okay? You just. But how much of us have missed this with God that we are going through the actions and the requirements and we've lost the intimacy and the love, and that's why we're struggling with everything else. Let me tell you this, and I'll say this right now. If there is something you are struggling with God, it's probably because this is struggling in your life. If there are things that God, you know, that God is asking you to do or God is wanting to do, and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, that seems so hard. Oh, does God, can we make a deal? Let's. If there are some things that you're pushing back on God, or there are some things you're struggling with, if you are struggling in your faith, I can almost guarantee it's because you are struggling in this area. Because when you are fully in the love, when you are fully just head over heels, when you realize how much God loves you and how much you love God, and just like, oh, this is just the best thing. God says, hey, I want you to do this. It's like, are you kidding? You don't even need to ask me that. I'm in because, oh, this is wonderful. The truth is, struggling, it's here. And if we're honest, you know this is true. Because ask yourselves, how much time do you spend here? This is great. You keep coming to church. God wants to do great things here. But don't miss what this is all about. So I'm asking, would you be willing to change? Would you be willing to truly find what you've been looking for and start looking in the right place? It's not hard. It's actually very simple. Very simple. But it can be difficult because we build up so many reasons around it. And I'm just going to give you three steps, super simple, to find a secret place with God. And this, for some of you, this is it. This is worth double whatever you put in the offering today, okay? Just money back guarantee. These three simple things, if you will begin to do this, you will begin to see an incredible change, not only in your relationship with God, but in your relationship with others and how you view life and all the things that you've been missing. I guarantee, you will begin to discover, because there's a God that has those answers and wants to do those things. God doesn't shortchange his promises. The problem isn't with God. The problem isn't with the church. The problem is you. You're looking in the wrong place. So I'm going to give you three simple steps that if you would begin to do this, you're going to see a huge change. And this is, they're simple. Three simple things is how we begin to do in a secret place. Let me put these up. Number one, you need to find a place that's solitary. I don't mean like go into solitary, right? It's like, me, I got to commit a crime? No, that's not what I'm talking about. Need to find a place alone. Now, some of you, you live in a home where you don't know what the word solitary means. Okay, what are you talking about? I've got kids coming out of every corner. It's just like, there is no, okay? You're going to have to work at it, but you need to find a place that's solitary. Now, solitary doesn't mean like there's nobody within a 5-mile radius. He says, when Jesus was teaching us how to pray, remember he says, go in your closet and shut the door. Some of you, that's it right there. Go in your closet and close the door. I mean, just literally do what Jesus said to do. Go in the closet, shut the door. Solitary. The clothes act as a sound buffer. It's nice and quiet in there. Okay. Some of you, you've got more leeway than that, but I'm saying you can find it. You've got to be intentional. You can come up with all kinds of excuses. Okay. But find a place that is solitary. It's by yourself. It's not everybody around. You're not going to pray during the middle of dinner. You're not going to pray when you're trying to get everybody to go to school. Okay? You're solitary. Find a place that's solitary. Are you thinking about a place? Is God putting a place? You're thinking about it? Turn to somebody and tell them you need to find a place that's solitary. Okay? Here's the other thing. This needs to be intentional. This has to be on purpose. It's not, oh, hey, everybody left to go play outside. I've got some solitary time. Oh, I'm going to do this. Okay? This has to be intentional. You schedule this ahead. Put it on your calendar. Put it on your to-do list. Some of you, the best way to do this is just wake up 15 minutes early. Wake up 20 minutes early. Before everybody else wakes up. Well, that would mean I gotta wake up earlier. Yeah. You're desperately trying to find something in your life where you're going miserable. Isn't it worth 15 minutes of your life to wake up early? Go to bed 15 minutes earlier. Hey, unplug. Turn it off. Go to sleep. Wake up 15 minutes or set your alarm. You'll get used to it. Right? You're not going to die. 15 minutes. Some of you are already, you know, I'm saying sleeping in. People are yawning all over the place. It's funny. When people, I'm already feeling tired just talking about. It's like we talk about fasting. Everybody gets hungry. We talk about waking up early in the morning. Everybody gets tired. But you can do this. Intentional. Set the time. Now, some of you have more flexibility throughout the day. Some of you, it's in the morning. Some of you, in the afternoon. Some of you, it's at night. Whatever it is. But it's intentional. I am doing this on purpose. And the last thing is this, it needs to be regular. You need to do this consistently. It's the same thing with exercise. You don't go to the gym once and work out for 10 hours and expect to see all the changes, right? Right? You need to lose, you know, 5, 10, 15, 25, 30, 40, 50 pounds. You're not going to go and say, I'm staying on this bike till I lose it. Keep pedaling. Only 47 more pounds to go, you know? It doesn't work that way, okay? In the same way with this relationship, right? It's a relationship. Imagine, okay, back when you were courting your husband or wife, you didn't say, okay, we're going to get all of our dates in right now. We're going to do a, you know, 72-hour dating marathon, and then we'll just be done, all right? We're going to get them all in at once. We're just going to just bulk load this thing and be done. Be done. Doesn't work that way. Solitary, intentional, regular. Set it up regular. You know, let me just be honest. This doesn't even have to be every single day. You can skip a day or two. Right? Maybe you just do this Monday through Friday. Just start someplace. Maybe some every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or every Monday, or something. Start someplace where I say, I'm finding an alone time. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm scheduling this on purpose, and I am doing this consistently. And here's what you will begin to discover, that all of those promises that we just talked about will begin to manifest, because it's away from everybody else. It's not performance. You can be honest with God. You're going to find you're going to pray different. You're going to find that God's going to speak to you differently. You're going to find direction. You're going to find the presence of God in a very real way. I'm telling you this, I've been in some amazing services. I've been in some services where the power of God has just been so strong and just so blown away. But I tell you what, my most special and close times with God have been when I've been all by myself and there's not been anybody else there but me and my Savior, and the presence of God was so real and so powerful. I'm thankful for great services. I'm thankful for you all. But here's the deal: you are not required in my relationship with God. You're important. You're important. But here's the deal: I can be, and I need to be, in a place where it's just me and God. Me and God. There are things that happen when we're together. And again, I'm not anti-church. I'm not saying, he's like, well, pastor said we didn't have to go to church. We just go to our closet. It's not what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. Some of you, are this is all there is. I'm saying you need to add this. This is part of it. This isn't such an important part that you're missing. 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 Solitary, intentional, regular. Let's say that together. Solitary, intentional, regular. Solitary, intentional, regular. Turn to somebody and tell them that. Solitary, intentional, regular. You can do this. This isn't difficult. But here's the hard part. You can come up with all kinds of reasons why this won't work. And some of you, that's what you're thinking about now. Well, you know, I really don't have a place. And yeah, okay, my closet might work, but it's kind of small. And I need a bigger closet after all. And I've been trying to tell him that. We need a bigger house. Come on, God, if you would give me a bigger house, then I would be able to pray. Wrong. Rewind, okay? You're missing it. See, our mind goes, or intentional. Yeah, I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. We say it this way, that direction, not intention, determines destination. Just being intentional about it. Can't stop there. You got to do it on a regular basis. And here's the thing. If you've ever known anybody or talked to anybody that does this, they will go and you ask them about their quiet time or you ask about their personal time with God. They'll just begin to gush about it like somebody that's in love. You talk to anybody that does this, they will talk about it like they are just head over heels in love. It's like, oh, man, I just miss it. Man, when I don't do that in the morning, it just seems like my day isn't right. Man, I tell you, it's just so special. You're missing it. Need to do this. And you say, well, what do we do there? What do we do there? Okay, so here you are. You're sitting in the closet, you know, and I'm here, and I've got this scheduled every day this week, and nobody's, you know, around. Now what do I do? Now what do I do? All right, okay, so there's a couple different things. Again, lead and grow. Number one, this is a great time to read your Bible. I don't know if you know about it, but we're trying to read through the New Testament through by Easter. This is a great time to open up God's Word and begin to read. Get yourself some coffee. Get yourself some tea. Get yourself some Red Bull. Whatever it takes, you know, to stay in tune with what, and begin to read your Bible. And as you're reading, you're saying, okay, God, speak to me. Speak to me. This is a great time to pray and to learn to pray in a different way. Do you know you pray differently when you're not in church? And for those of you who don't know that, you're not doing this. Because we pray publicly differently. I mean, think about it. Our public prayers, and again, understand what I'm saying. I just want you to be honest with yourself and get to where God wants you. Our public prayers sound nothing like how we really talk, right? I mean, think about how you pray, right? Dear Lord, most benevolent Heavenly Father, oh God, you're so good. Lord, you're so good. I mean, I don't want to mock, but understand this. Is that you? Do you go to McDonald's like, oh, I want some fries with that? Hold the cheese. we can find ourselves praying in ways that aren't us, just because we become conditioned because we're around people. But here's the thing, when you're all by yourself, all of that drops and you're just like, God, this day really sucks. I'm really struggling with this. And why am I wrestling with this? All of a sudden, you're starting to sound a lot like you. And you begin to pray like who you are. And you go, God, this was just such an amazing day. I never thought this would happen. I just want to thank you. I never thought this day would happen. And you did a miracle today. And that is so incredibly mind-blowing awesome. Thank you. Thank you. It's like, wow, that sounds a lot like Todd. And you'll start to sound a lot like you. And when you pray like you, guess what? That's how you're supposed to pray. Because what is prayer? It's a conversation. How do you talk to people? That's how you talk to God. We say this, and we've said this for a while. It's okay to pray rated R prayers where you just tell God exactly how you feel. I was like, this is horrible. I hate this. I don't like them. Why don't I like them? God, there's something in me that I wish you would just like let them slide on the ice and wreck their car, and I would be happy with that. And God, I'm telling you that because we're in secret and nobody else knows, and I can say that. Now, here's the deal. If you're praying that way in public, you might get some strange looks. Lord, I'm praying for my neighbor. Lord, bless his lawn with lots of dandelions this year. Let the termites eat him up. You know, what is it in me, Lord, that I don't like the person sitting in front of me? You know, like, we need to move, right? But in secret, you can be honest and you say, God, what is it in me that I'm jealous about them? What is it in me that I'm struggling? What is it in me that I need to let go of because this is wrecking me? I go to church and it's like I go through the motions and I don't want to live that way. God, but now that we're in secret, now that we're in this place where there's nobody else around and I can just be honest and you're going to be honest with me, what you'll find is God begins to speak and God begins to heal and God begins to strengthen and God begins to do all those things that he promised that he would do, and all of those weaknesses begin to become overshadowed with the greatness of God, and all those things you fear begin to be minimized and you begin to feel peace. All those areas where you don't know where to go, God begins to give you directions. All of those things that you feel uncertain about, God begins to give you confidence. All of those things where you feel bad about yourself, God begins to remind you just how much you're loved. And you come out of that closet literally a changed person. Why? Because you say, I don't care what the rest of this day holds. I have been in the presence of my Savior. And that changes everything. I've been in the secret place. And that changes the whole perspective of what everything does. You'll come to church different. You'll worship different in church. Because you are in a relationship now. There's an intimacy now. And I'm talking to some people here. You're looking in the wrong place. Glad that you're here. But you need to start looking in your secret place. And watch what God does. And then the beauty of it is then you come back to church and then you start sharing. It's like, you know what? I actually listened to him last week. Should have done this a long time ago. And it worked. God's word is true. And you will begin to start talking about it in the same gushing way as if you were in love. So you pray. Real prayers. You read your Bible. This is a great place to find a devotional. You're reading a book that is leading you closer to Christ, where you're filling it out. It's a great time to journal and write your own psalms. I always encourage, write your own psalms. Psalms are not all happy. There are some psalms where David goes, this is a rotten day. And you need to write that. This is a rotten day. But God, you are still in charge. Find a devotional. Write your own psalms. Listen to some worship music. Sing along out of tune or in tune or just with all the exuberance. Have just a blowout service in your own time. You can dance before the Lord and not worry what anybody else is going to think because you're alone with God. There's just something to say, Lord, you're just so happy. I just got to move. You can, seriously, some of you can bust some moves. And there is nothing better of expressing who you are and what you are in the presence of God in the way that he made you. Some of you, I mean, Understand what I'm saying? There's a reality and there's a truthfulness there that you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks because you're in secret. There are things that you would do in the presence of God alone that you wouldn't do in front of anybody else, but they are precious. They are intimate. They are what holds the relationship together. And God is saying, you're missing it, but I'm waiting for you at your house. And watch what God can begin to do. Solitary, intentional, and regular. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? Like I say, I love this. It's this kind of teaching, just being real. But God wants to change you. And you can come back here next Sunday and saying, oh, I found it. Something's changed. I found what I've been looking for, and I'm headed in the right direction now. Or you can just leave and go back, and we'll see you next Sunday and go through the same old motions. Same old put the happy face on, check the box off, and never find what you have been missing. And what a sad, sad story that would be. Because God has everything that you're looking for. But there are certain things you can only find in secret places. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's stand.